Welcome to the show, Thierry from BC Signature. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks you, Simon. Thank you for having me. I feel very humbled you guys asked.
It's good to have you here. Thanks for passing by and wanting to share your thoughts and ideas of our lovely business and industry.
Absolutely, no problem.
So Thierry, you and I, we met over a beer a couple of months ago in a very shady...
beer hall.
Beer hall, yeah. It's an interesting experience. But absolutely. For people that don't know you that well, who is Thierry and how did you end up in the wrapping business?
I am Thierry from BC Signature, of course. I'm 35 years old and I live in Antwerp. And together with my partner, John De Weert, we are owners of BC Signature. We have three shops in Belgium, and I run my own shop daily, and John runs his own shop daily, and together we try to manage the three shops in the main big cities of Flanders, which is the Dutch-speaking part of Belgium. So that's what we do. We have 12 people, installers, designers, people who do finance and everything for the whole group, and that's what we do daily. Now, as for how I got into the business is a pretty long story. So if I go off too far, just stop me.
I have time. Go for it.
Okay, cool. So I actually studied IT, so a lot of with doing with computers, but my first jobs were in sales, and I ended up doing what I really loved, and I was working with cars, so I got to sell cars. And at a certain point in my career, I was driving cars, drifting, going to shows with my own car, which was a really cool Nissan 200 SX. Being in the drift scene, I was completely blown away when I saw on a Japanese website that they made stickers that lit up on the car. And I think it was the very first time I had something like damn, that's something that's not really daily and nobody knows it. And it's going to be awesome if we can do something like that. And I started looking up companies as well as in Japan as in the United States. And I came in contact with Luma Media, which made electroluminescent vinyl. And we started talking and I got really interested and I decided to go over there, go to Las Vegas and look what it was all about and do some training there. And the product looked amazing and I really felt like we found the hole in the market and we started doing business together. But apply those electroluminescent vinyls and stickers, you had to hide the electric wiring or electronic wiring, which was really thin, but you could still see it on the car. So if you wanted a sticker in the middle of the door, you would have to wrap the car to hide the electronics running up to the sticker. And so that forced me to learn how to wrap. So I started digging in wrapping and in learning how to use a small plotter to be able to cut the vinyls, because Luma Media delivered the electroluminescent vinyl, the electroluminescent piece, cut and laminated. But we still had to put some cut vinyl on top to mask it and to make sure the letters that you wanted to light up that only lit up. So we had to really think technically how we could... work all those things in a cool design. And I really started working, learning how to work with Illustrator on YouTube and trying to figure everything out. We bought a very small plotter, which was the Roland GX24. And we started plotting from there, which was an amazing experience. We did some really cool projects with the product, but the two problems were, first of all, delivery times were very long. Of course, the material wasn't really cheap, but we sold really nice projects. But in between, we didn't have much to do. So I started using the plotter and my newly learned wrap skills to practice and start doing lettering for customers, which I sold a car to or a van to. And that kind of exploded in us doing wraps because the electroluminescent product was not really on point. After one and a half year, we really started having problems with warranty and moisture coming into the laminated EL panels and everything. So at a certain point, we decided to stop doing EL panels, and we went full out on signs and car wrapping. So that was my very first own company. And after a while with my partner in that company, I really wanted to do 100% only wrapping. And my partner disagreed, so we decided to split up. That's how it goes in business. And I started my own wrap shop, one-man army, so I did everything. And 2-3 years later, I reconnected with John from, in that time, BNC Design, and my company was called Signature Wraps. And we met again at SEMA, and we're about the same age. We both have the same business drive, and we had such a good time at SEMA that afterwards we decided, why should we be the biggest competitors? We might do better together. And then we sat together and we started to join forces and started BC Signature as a brand together. And gave the opportunity to some of our independent installers, freelancers, to start a BC Signature shop. And that's how the brand got together. And that's how we all grow together and try to do crazy wraps.
Okay, that was a good rundown, first off.
That's the short version.
Brought up a couple of interesting points I want to touch down on. Sure. First off, You seem to be a guy that learns a lot by doing.
Yeah.
Or that absolutely. Seems to have been your path into the industry, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you feel that it's a virtue for you to be that way?
I think it's a virtue. I don't think I've ever learned anything I regret I've learned. And I actually wished I would have discovered that for myself a lot earlier. I went through the normal path of school and everything, and I actually never did something in school because it just didn't trigger me. And as soon as I discovered the vinyl and wrapping industry, my first thing was, I need to know how this works. I want to be able to do it. So I learned to work with the plotter, with Illustrator. I learned to wrap. The first wraps were with no air release, wet apply. It was 70 or 80 hours of applying on a simple car, three-door car. It was crazy. It ripped from everywhere. And I'm actually, maybe you can hear it in my speed of talking, I'm a bit ADD, so I never expected I could have the patience to do a bumper or other pieces on a car. But somehow, when I was wrapping, I got into some kind of a groove. And what I really liked was the combination between my computer skills and my wrapping skills afterwards, so I could do the creative part and I could do the install part. So it's never boring for me. So that's a really nice challenge. And as soon as we invested in our first printer, which afterwards was not such a good idea, but at first I learned a lot with it, and my mind was blown on the possibilities. So I was really hungry for more information. So I really think it's a virtue, and I still see it today as I still learn in wrapping, but my new hunger is more in the business side of things, and I really love to brush up my marketing skills, brush up my sales skills, and see how we can do a better job and better serve our customers. So I really keep on doing the same thing.
So that was the first point there, and the other one I wanted to ask you about is you joined forces with whom is your partner right now.
Yeah,
because you felt that you two, instead of competing, you could do much better together, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What lessons have you drawn for that one? Because you said you were pretty similar as, or I understand as you are pretty similar in the way of thinking. But do you guys complement each other, or you are extra strong on the same areas?
No, I think in the drive we are alike. So we're both very driven, but in way of doing things and our background is pretty different, and we're very complementary. And that was the main reason for me to work together. Is I was a one man army at that time and doing everything myself. And John had a really nice thing going with three installers and everything, and he could more manage the place, and he had a really nice sales structure. structure, which for me, sales being alone, I was lucky that people bought for my skills, but I wasn't really good at following up on quotes and everything, as I was more rapping and designing. So it was really nice for me to find somebody who had the same drive and also the same type of quality of reps. We had a similar pricing point. So actually, Belgium is not that big of a country, and in the type of customers that we had, we really felt and we heard it a lot. Or they had the customer had a click with me and he bought from me, or he bought from John. So if they were looking for a quality rep, they always came to one of our both shops. So so it's pretty nice. At that moment, we really hit it off, and we knew each other for a while, but more as competitors. Of course, we kept a close eye on each other. But really being the same type of guy, really outgoing, really driven in his business, it just felt so much better to be together than against each other.
You mentioned that the kind of jobs that you get. You mind telling us, is it more personalized cars? Is it fleet jobs? What are you guys into?
So as 2018 came to an end, we just checked the numbers again, and we're about at 30% of everything. So we do 30% of PPF, mainly with Xpel film, which of course attracts a lot of exotic cars. And then the other two are, of course, color changes, where we personalize car, mainly premium brands, for other colors. As everyone knows. And then the third thing are the printed wraps, which I see in commercial, but also in more art wraps for gumball races or people who want something special to do car shows and everything. So that's more the really personalization part of it. But we really have a nice mix of the three parts of wrapping.
But you would say that you are known as a high-end business, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. In our industry, we're quoted as high end.
So, what is it you bring to the high end industry that makes you grow and keep on going? What futures do you provide customers, do you think, that are so welcome?
Well, I think every of the three things we do, everything has its specific thing. I think, especially in PPF, we're doing it for a long time, and we're really good at installing Xpel because we do so much of it. It's just sheer volume. We know the vinyl really well, and we do get a great finish. And the main thing is, especially for the luxury car owner, is that we take care of everything. So if they just order the kit from us, we make sure the car gets picked up at the dealership or at the customer at home in a closed trailer. They bring it up to the shop, and we do it in the shop if it's the whole car. And sometimes at Lamborghini or Ferrari, we go do everything right there. So as soon as the customer has ordered, he really doesn't have to take care of anything anymore. We take over, and it's really nice for him to just be serviced as if he at the same level as he served at Ferrari or at Lamborghini. So that's what we try to do, to have it's hassle-free as possible.
All right, so it's about a service, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think I hear a lot of people, and I see a lot of people in the rap industry, also on the Facebook groups, complaining about pricing. And I can even see people saying, yeah, if a customer brings his car dirty, I charge him an extra $50. I'm like, come on, you're crazy. You have to calculate that cost into the selling price of your wrap, and you should clean every car that comes into your shop, no matter how dirty or clean it is. So it's really a way of figuring out what the customer actually expects, and what do you expect if you go to the hairdresser? You expect that before he cuts your hair, he cleans it. So that's just actually part of the job. And I think if you take away a lot of the hassle that a customer has or thinking about, and if you can reassure them you'll be doing everything and there's nothing they have to take into account, it will be a lot easier for them to decide to work with you.
That's an interesting point of view, because it's like you said, it's there's a lot of people pointing out stuff like that they don't bring the cars clean enough or whatever. So
sure,
your point of selling is that you incorporate as much as possible that you think you need to incorporate to the price.
Absolutely. Yeah, we actually had a point where we stopped advertising for car change wraps because we somewhere felt that we maybe felt it was really hard to prove an added value because the customer always goes for the cheaper option. And that was something that we read everywhere and you see everywhere. And then really thinking about it and for us taking a step back and thinking about how can we service the customer even better and where can we make the difference. I think it's all about everybody expects a good rep. If you go for $1,500 or if you go for $5,000, everybody thinks you're a good rapper. So there's not a difference. You can't say I'm a better rapper. That's not gonna make him pay the double of the price for a wrap. It's just not the way it is anymore. If you buy a Dacia car or if you buy a Porsche, they're both good cars. There are no cars that break down every week anymore. And I think it's the same thing for wrapping. Of course, there are still bad wrappers, but a customer that comes in a respectable wrap shop will expect a good job. And being good is not a value that's high enough for me to convince a customer to become a customer at our place. So you really have to go way further and you have to look at how can you service the customer and be of value of the customer. So it's a no-brainer. The customer just gets a price and he says, of course it's that expensive because everything is incorporated in the price. And if I go on the other side, I just get my wrap and I have to clean my own car. So
what's way further for you? Vary from customer to customer, from product to product. Is it a feeling that they leave you the key, and from when they leave you the key, you are there to just over deliver?
Oh, it starts even before they get the key. We get the keys. I mean, a lot of our customers still have their car on order, and it will be delivered in 3 months. And otherwise, you have to call your customer 4 times. Do you know already when the car will be there and everything? We just ask for the salesperson's contacts of the garage and the name of the salesperson. We'll figure out his contacts. We'll contact the dealership and the salesperson. They'll keep us up to date. We'll check up regularly when the car is there. We'll make sure the car gets picked up in a closed trailer so there's no damage to the car possible. And we'll figure out all the paperwork and the customer can just pick up the car when it's done at our shop. Or we return it to the shop, to the garage, to the dealership, whatever the customer prefers. And there's no hassle-free. And then I'm just talking about the color change and the PPF wraps we do when we go to the prints, especially if it's an advertising print. We really try to go very far with the customer on the marketing side of things. We really show that we think about contrast. We think about being different than his competition and everything. So we try to put in a lot more information than the customer expects. He just expects that we are going to do 3 designs. He's going to get them in the mailbox and he'll choose. And then maybe he'll go with that design to the competition and get a better price over there. That's really not the way we work. We go for the personal touch and we are really trying to coach our customer into choosing a good design and a good partner to work with. And only we always convince the customer first before we design anything. So we really have to convince him of our knowledge and of our design skills and of our marketing skills to be able to get him as a customer. And we really love to see his company grow afterwards because of our input.
Right, because of your rep.
Yeah, absolutely.
You happened to mention in the beginning that you guys have 3 different locations in a country like Belgium, right?
And it's yeah.
One of the great, biggest. So no. I just did a quick Google search and you seem to be in a radius of about 50 kilometers from each other.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely, yeah.
So why?
Okay, yeah, that's a logic question if you're living in a bigger country where people are used to move around a lot. In Belgium, a customer really doesn't want to drive farther than 20 kilometers, ideally. So for us, it's actually a choice because at this point, we're close to every big hub of the luxury brands. So in the three biggest cities, there are, of course, Ferrari, Porsche, Audi, Mercedes dealerships. And we just take so much of a percentage of those customers that it's enough for us to have a shop. As first and as second, also, especially, there's also enough business. If all those brands are there and the city is big enough, that means that there are a lot of plumbers, restaurants, enough to do advertising on their cars. So for us, the market is big enough. If we, those 50 kilometers mostly take 2 hours to drive into traffic. So for us, it's also worth a bit to be able to work closer to home. So our installers work in the shops that are closest to them, so they don't spend 2.5 hours driving to work every day. So also for our guys working for us, it's a bonus to be able to work close. We could choose to have one big shop and have all 12 people in the same building. In our case, we chose to have smaller buildings, smaller shops, and three people in every shop, so we can service people closer to home. Also, because we pick up the car at the dealerships and bring them to the shops a lot, it makes a difference in transport cost, of course, if you have to have the driver 2.5 hours in one way to bring a car. It's 5 hours. That's quite expensive.
That's a lot of time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, so that's also one of the reasons.
So, Terry, help me out here. The way I see it, you are in charge of one of the shops. Your partner, John, is in charge of the other one, and you probably have another person in charge of the third one.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's
How do you keep the same values, ideas, thought, just managing it all?
Yeah, actually, we developed, we're a franchise, basically. So we developed all the order, all the quote demands from our websites and Facebook and social media are all filtered through the same software, and they go distributed through the shop of the customer's choice. They all go through the same sales follow-up. Everything is checked centrally. So that's one of the huge jobs, but also the huge benefit of starting the franchise for us was that everything is in an automated process, and that everybody knows or should know what they're doing. Of course, the bigger you are, sometimes the more struggle it is to get the values like they should be, but we're really close. And as our installers, we have really good installers. We can rotate them from shop to shop depending how busy it is in a certain area or in a certain period. We all have the same level of install. And of course, we have guys that are better in installing PPF, and those guys do the main PPF jobs. That's logic. And the other way around, other guys are better in installing and aligning print. And a third guy is even more detailed in the small bumpers and stuff. So we really have a good team together, and we really know who to put on which job, and we can rotate depending on demand. So that makes us really strong together.
So the franchise that you said over there, is it just to there to expand further away from Belgium, or you just wanted something that it's a centralized way of working?
I think both. We're preparing to expand, and we've had more than three shops, and we had to close two shops down because of values not being respected and other ways of seeing things.
That must have been a hard
decision. Yeah, absolutely. I have to say that one of the main things I've learned also is it's not because you're a good installer or a good rapper that you're a good business person. I think there's still a huge difference between being self-employed and being an entrepreneur and really running your own business. And there are guys that love to install but just hate the sales part of the follow-up part of something. And if you're a franchise, yeah, you adhere to the franchise for all the tools we developed and everything and the values we developed. And then, of course, yeah, afterwards, you have to stick to them. That's right. The logic. So
it's part of the agreement.
Yeah, it's part of the agreement. So I think that's very important. And also for us to keep the quality of the brand really high, we didn't take long to figure that out. And the good thing is, of course, that we really have a strong team, and we have really we can... Belgium's not big, so a shop more or less the customer doesn't have to drive way farther. But the biggest advantage for us and the most things we've learned is to put everything in a streamlined procedure, and that's I think something that a lot of shops aren't doing today. If tomorrow they hire somebody, they have to explain everything from start. There are no really procedures for learning somebody else. And that's something we have all in place. So now it's really nice. It was a huge job, but now it's really nice.
So what does that mean? How quick can you get someone that's completely fresh? If everything goes according to plan and the person is quickly learning, whatever.
Yeah. That depends on which function, of course. On an installer, that will take longer than somebody who needs to follow up sales, because the procedures are shorter. You can really, in sales, you learn that product and you can really go there and you go deep in that. So that depends actually on the function. Right. But an installer, the good thing is my partner John De Weert is also gave international trainings, so he's a really good one. And a really great help if we hire new people that don't stick vinyl. And of course, we try to do a bit the method that Justin is also really good in. And he teaches us, because he came to Belgium also to give us training. We all learn every day. And he has the same approach of having a prepper, getting everything off the car, somebody cleaning the car, and having the wrappers really wrap. And then we have different levels, so somebody can wrap but not cut yet. And then they start wrapping and cutting only hoods and fenders, and then they develop on a full side, and then afterwards only bumper. So we really have a good flow of people doing what they can and don't over go their limit before we learn them how to and train them how to get better in other pieces.
Interesting. For us to go along a little bit more in the business side of it all, you also said in the beginning that you've started to see yourself more as a business owner, or coming back to that.
Yeah.
What is it you put your most energy on at the moment?
That's a hard one. That's a hard one. I think for the moment, it is making sure that if I break something or I should have an illness of some kind, that the business can go on without me. I think that's the main focus for the moment, is really finishing the last procedure and really make sure there's somebody on each seat, or that if somebody with another seat maybe can take 20% of that piece and 20% of the other piece if something should happen, because that's my worst fear. I still install weekly and I still do everything else, marketing, sales. I try to help wherever I can. And my worst fear is that I would be out for 3 or 6 months and find a not so good company when I get back. So that's my main business focus for this year, especially when because we're expecting my first daughter in February. So
it's, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So it's really important for us, and also for John, which has had his first daughter 1.5 months ago. So we're exactly in the same period of our life, which is really cool.
It's well planned.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to keep it a little bit further then, is there anything, talking about business-wise, is there anything you've had to change your mind about the industry in the last 2 years?
About the industry, what I told before was, especially for the color changes, was first of all, you really fall, you have the tendency of falling in the price fight, and it's, for us, it was really nice to discover that the price is not the issue, but it's the whatever is in the package. So before we were always a little bit more expensive than for the basic wraps, and now we just added a lot more services, and of course the price went up, so we don't do those services for free. But it's really nice to see that it's working for our customer base, and that it's actually making things easier for us to work better. So that was a really good business insight. And the other thing is that the realization that there's always somebody better than at something than you are, is being able to let some things go and find the right people to do them in your place. And then sometimes mostly the result is actually even better than if you're trying to do everything yourself, because you can only do so much, and you can be perfect at everything. So I think also for me, that was a really good business insight. So that was one of the main things, and the biggest thing is find time to work on your company and not only in your company. And I think we found a really good balance in that we really take time weekly to view what we can improve and to actually improve it, because it's nice to have meetings and decide things, but if nothing ever gets done, you keep on having the same results. So so we really take the time every week to evaluate things and to implement as much as we can immediately, so we can win time and do better services to us, our customers, in the future.
That sounds extremely healthy and brave, I gotta say. It sounds brave that you follow your belief all the way, and yeah, well, in your case, you realize that it actually paid you.
Yeah, absolutely, and so fast, it's crazy. It's really crazy how fast things can change as soon as you put everything in the same direction, the same train of thought. I brought in my girlfriend in my own shop about 2 years ago. For us, it's the only way to find a work-life balance is to work together. and that works out really, really well. She's really on the same page on developing and growing together. So for us, it's good to be really able to sit down and work on things and not always working on the company. And yeah, it's makes it so much nicer to work with, and you can see the results immediately. Sometimes you do something, you just work on it 2 hours instead of wrapping vinyl 2 hours. But afterwards, the week afterwards, you have a fully automatic system for something you had to do completely manual for the last 6 months. And it's amazing afterwards. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about something that you haven't actually talked that much about, and that is... Yeah. I know you guys are, or at least you are, extremely a lot into marketing, right?
Yeah.
And absolutely. You are, for example, when we met, we started talking about cameras and microphones and all of that. So yeah. Tell us about that part of your working days.
Absolutely. Yeah, I absolutely love marketing. It's in everything I listen to, is 60% is marketing, and it's really something I do every day, because I really believe that marketing shouldn't feel like marketing for the customer. So we really try to do a lot of Instagram stories for the moment, because we really evolved. I think that was also my first input when we started together, working together with John, is that John was very strong in the management and the procedures and the sales, and I was pretty good in all the creative printing and the wraps, designing, and then the marketing part, because I was already very busy on social media. So we kept on doing actually what we did good, and we tried to improve. But there's of course a huge difference between 8 years ago when we posted the Lamborghini on Facebook. Our Facebook page exploded with 1500 or 2000 likes. If we now post a picture of a Lamborghini on our Facebook page with 30,000 followers, we have 5 likes. So it's a whole different ball game, of course. So we evolved a lot using a lot more video first on Facebook. Of course, we evolved into Instagram. And now for us, the biggest return is on Instagram stories, which also connect automatically to our Facebook stories. And we still have weekly new quotes coming in because they saw we wrapped the Range Rover Sport that week, and people have a Range Rover Sport. And it's really weird, because a customer driving a Range Rover Sport doesn't have the same click when you do an X5 in the exact same color. It really needs to be the same car. So Instagram stories helps a lot, because people see what we do every day. A bit over a half a year ago, we started doing weekly rap videos we put onto YouTube, which are also working really well for us, which are really small bits and pieces of everything we do in the week. So I take out my phone like 5 or 6 times a day, just take really short clips, and I all mash them together in a weekly overview. Takes a few minutes a week, but it's really nice for the customers also to see their own car being wrapped. So we're pretty big on that. And we try when we have time to do some explainer videos, which also help really well for the customer, especially for PPF, which is a an invisible product for the customer. It's always nice if we do explain what we are doing. But I'd like to have more time. I really love marketing, but it takes a lot of time and effort to do all that.
I wanted to just say that because I'm sitting here listening to all that you do, and I'm mentally adding up the amount of time I think everything should take, and I get it to like 8 hours daily. Because I mean, yeah, it takes time. If you want to do something good, it takes time. You need to do the setup.
I totally agree with you, but the difference is with marketing today, you have to do it, but you don't have to be amazing at it. You will always dream from filming on your phone. Every day, a 10-second clip will always win above having one professionally made video every month. It's
that I agree with you, yeah.
That's and now the phones, everything I do, if you see every video on our YouTube are just shot with my iPhone and without any stabilization or anything. You just throw it into a really easy app on your phone, because I don't do anything editing on the computer. I just throw it all together on the phone. I put a song on it. I put it on YouTube and it works. And it's just so amazing. I mean, could you imagine 5 years ago? That would have been impossible. So the possibilities are so much better. And I still can't believe there are rap companies just doing raps and not putting pictures online or every day. I mean, you're working every day. It takes a second. So it blows my mind that there are still people saying, social media should do that. How? I mean, you're on it every day. Why wouldn't you post a picture every day? It's crazy. So it looks like a lot of time, but actually I think we found a really good flow. And of course, we could always do better. I'd love to make an amazing video every day, sure. But for the moment, I think with the tools we have, you can take a time lapse of yourself wrapping. That doesn't take you more time. You still have to wrap the car. You have to wrap it anyway. So it doesn't take you any time to put the camera behind you and take a time lapse.
That's right. That's correctly.
So that's the way I go about it. And we try to connect as well in our sales process as in our marketing process. We try to make as much as possible automatic. We've got emails going out automatically when people ask us a quote, and we try to call them and they don't pick up the phone. They get an email. Everything works works automatically. And when we put something on Instagram, it goes on Facebook, and we put something on YouTube, it goes on LinkedIn. And it's just a matter of figuring out how those links work. And as soon as you link everything together, a lot gets done with a lot less effort.
That's a good setup, I gotta say. Let's talk a little bit about projects, right?
Sure.
This might be a hard one for you of all the projects you've done, but what project are you most proud of?
It's super hard because we already have new project in the planning, and there's again new stuff, new awesome stuff coming out, so pushing the technological boundaries of what we're doing. But
let's do this. Tell you what. What project are you most proud of in regards that it taught you so much?
If then I would say one of the first, I think the first printed wrap I've ever done, because when I agreed to do the car, I never did a printed wrap before, and I didn't even own a printer. I agreed to do the project, and I put a ridiculous amount on it, and because it was technically really hard to do, the customer wanted more than 900 Polaroid pictures wrapped on his Ferrari 599 GTO. So it was the very first Ferrari with the very first print I would ever install. And I had no idea how to start on it. I just knew I had to figure out an automatic way of being able to make a puzzle of all those Polaroid pictures together. And the most important thing was that they were all took by independent photographers. So it was a whole puzzle to do that. And actually, I sold it. The customer paid a deposit up front. I Googled the best training I could, the only training I could find at that moment for printed wraps was at 360 Wraps in Dallas with Tommy Strader. And I just booked a flight. I booked the training. I booked a flight. I ordered a printer at a Muta printer. And the guys came and installed it, and I got my training at 360 Wraps. It was 3 days of nothing else than printed wrap design and print training. And I just came back and I started at it, and it looked really good, actually. It was crazy. We managed to do it at that point with that detail, because a Polaroid is a small picture, so we had to go at over 200 dpi to be able to read the name of the photographer on the Polaroid. So yeah, it was crazy. It was a crazy job, but I learned so much. And that had still illuminated EL panel logos on the sides of the car. So it was really a huge job. But I was super proud of the results. And it's still one of the most technical wraps I did to date, I think. So that was really cool. And it's like, yeah, I think it's already 6 years ago. So that's a long way back. Yeah, that was amazing. And it took part on the Gumball. That was my very first Gumball car. Yeah, sure. So, which is, of course, a really nice package.
I really like how you just throw yourself out there and then you find a solution. That's
pretty much. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think, of course, you don't have to do any. You don't have to say to your customer, "I'll do it," and you'll have to do it for free. But if they throw a challenge at me, it's like the first helicopter we did. We started wrapping helicopters like 4 years ago, and the first time I was like, "Sure, yeah." I just put a price tag on it, and we'll see. And we did it in less than 2 days with four guys, I think. And so we've been doing helicopters ever since. So I think we're the only one. I've had quotes up until Nepal to wrap helicopters. We haven't flown out there yet. But yeah, we do them a lot now. Yeah.
How, for someone that's maybe going to wrap a helicopter for the first time in a couple of days and happens to hear this, what's your number one tip there?
Bring a foam roller for the rivets. The rivets are really super time consuming on a helicopter, and degrease a lot. And don't promise a longer lifespan than more than a year, I'd say, for the pieces that take a lot of wind, like nose and everything, because you have to sell a maintenance contract with them to keep them on there. Yeah, there's so much shrinkage and heat going together. It's a big job with all the rivets. It's really hard to get the thing on there. You can't post heat the helicopter like you do a car, because it goes all the panels would just not stand those temperatures. So you really have to check it up. You just say to the customer, "We come and check it up every 3 months, and you just fix the parts that that are failing." That's about it. Yeah.
That's the truth, right? That's the way, at least.
Yeah, that's the way it is. You don't want to risk a helicopter going down because you didn't because there was a rivet popping up and it sucked in a piece of vinyl in the engine. So just make sure. And of course, and that's my true belief, is if it's not, I wouldn't sell it ever if it's permanent. But if you have to take it off, use an Avery Supreme wrapping film. It comes off even after a year without any damage to a good painted helicopter. So yeah, that would be my main idea to do that well. Yeah.
So Thierry, you seem to have a lot of balls up in the air and things you're doing and all of that. How do you unwind?
Wrapping. No, of course, yeah, sure. But it's like that. Wrapping gets me in some kind of zone. And what I really love about technology today is that people always tell me I work too hard, I don't have time to read books. So mostly when I'm wrapping, I'm listening to a podcast or to a book, and that gets me so concentrated. I'm really unwinding at that moment. And of course, I really love to spend time with my girlfriend. and preparing everything for the baby right now, which is also a new challenge. So again, something I'm throwing at, and I now have to figure out the best baby phone and the best baby bed and everything, so that also gets me because I'm also I'm going at it at the same level as I'm going to business. So it's a really nice challenge for me to be able to raise a newborn. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to all the challenges it's going to throw at us as a couple in the same company, because you can imagine if two of the five people in my own shop have to take a time out, everything needs to be ready. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to talking to you and seeing how you optimize your baby raising skills.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. So it's another time of podcast.
Correctly. So, Thierry, I know you have a lot going on in the future as well. Is there anything I'm pushing here, right? So yeah. I'm looking if you could tell me anything interesting coming up, any projects that you can disclose for us without harming yourself too much.
Wait, I have a few secrets, of course, because I can say you can give somebody all the tools they want. It's not that somebody else will go at it at the same drive and the same vision as you do. So I'm not scared of some competition. So I'm not really scared of sharing secrets. But we're standing just a week before the biggest car show in Belgium, a new car show. So it's the Brussels Motor Show. And for 6 years now, we are the only car rep company having a booth there and doing live demos the whole week. So it's always a big challenge for us to come up with something new there. And make sure the general public gets to know what car repping is and gets in touch with us. So we're prepping two cars right now with a very first try, a new technological tryout. We've did some test printing, and I invite everybody to follow us on social media to see the next weeks. We'll be applying the vinyl, and I hope it will have the results. I think it will have. So definitely keep an eye on that. And I'm super excited for the whole future of car wrapping on as it is right now, because I think, especially in advertising, we're coming in an exciting time where social media marketing is becoming so expensive because everybody's doing it, that wraps are really back into the scope of advertising companies and really startups and all the other companies that needs to get the word out there. So I'm really noticing that we get a lot of demands back, and that the budgets are back on the car wrapping, and not only on the online part because it becomes so expensive. So I think it's really nice to be able to look forward to that. And I'm looking forward to the future of automotive in general. I'm really looking forward to how self-driving cars will develop and how it will impact our business. Because of course, if people don't buy cars anymore, it will be a whole different ball game.
You can still wrap helicopters, right? So
sure, and I'm absolutely positive that there will be a place for wrapping those self-driving cars with advertising and protection and everything. But the car ownership part for a normal car, I'm not saying for an exotic, but will change dramatically, I think, in the coming 5 years. So we'll be. I'm super excited to find the new business opportunities in everything that's going that way.
Me too.
Yeah.
So you know what? I always leave a chance to the people I have on the show to have an open channel to the rapping world, where they can just say whatever they want and whatever they feel like. The kind of the words of wisdom. So if I were to give you now an open spot here, tell them whatever you want, what would that be?
Okay, first of all, I don't think I know all, so I still learn every day from the rest of the industry on your podcast. But if I have to give one advice, I'd say be different. I think that's the main thing. Don't try to compete for the exact same products, for the exact same services, because then you'll only be competing on price, which is what nobody wants. Just try to find a different approach, different services, and not only be a better wrapper, but just be a better company, be better of service of your customers. Just always look on the side of your customer and how you could be better for them to make it a no-brainer to choose for you. I think that's the main, that's the best thing for you, and that's the best thing for the industry. So that would be my main advice.
Sweet. So Thierry, if people want to find you guys on the social media, where do they need to go?
Oh, they can go on every social channel we are on. So that's social, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at BC Signature, as simple as it is for our company. And myself, I'm on Instagram at RapGyver, like you'd say MacGyver, but then the rap part of it. So you can follow me there. With I think a lot more baby pictures and rap pictures for the year to come, but still a lot of nice rap information. So make sure to contact me there. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, great. So Thierry, that's about all that I have today. Thank you for taking your time. Thank you for sharing so openly like you did, and love the chat.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It was really nice to talk to you, and we'll see you guys soon.
I hope the best for you now in this upcoming week's motor shop, and looking forward to seeing the pictures on social there.
Oh yeah, make sure to follow it up. It's going to be amazing.
Great, Thierry. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Simon. Bye-bye.